Shimon would say, when he would want to say, I am Shimon, he would say, Ani Shimon. In our Hebrew class that we have in the afternoons right now, by the way, you're all still invited to participate. If you want to say, I am a student, you would say, Ani Talmid. That is if you're a male. If you're a female, you would say, Ani Talmida. Slightly different grammar for masculine and feminine nouns in Hebrew. Ani Talmid or Ani Talmida. Awesome. Thank you, sir. No, two would be really good. Wow. Okay, for those of you listening on the MP3, I'm playing with great big clippers. Really? This isn't a fright show or anything like that. Aren't these cool? This isn't clippers. This is like exercise equipment to open and close these things. These have been used a lot. Hopefully, it wasn't all Shimon that made these so dirty and rusty. Using them, they've seen a lot of hedges. Okay, back to Ani Talmid. I am a student. The theme of my series on prayer has been a statement from the Psalms, chapter 109, that says, Ani Tefillah. Ani Tefillah. So instead of me saying, I am George, Ani George, or the psalmist saying, Ani David, I am David the king, he says, Ani Tefillah. He identifies himself not as David, but as prayer. I am prayer. Ani Tefillah. And we have talked about each week different aspects of prayer. I've tried to not give necessarily an outline of how to pray, but yet how to engage the Most High. We've talked about how prayer is love. Real prayer is going to be motivated only by love. I can't make you pray. I can encourage a little bit, but it's only by your embracing and wanting to serve the Lord with your heart is how prayer is really going to grow within our lives. I admitted that sometimes I don't feel like I do the best job at prayer. I need to learn to love the Most High even more than I do. I need to learn to be Ani Tefillah. I need to learn to be more prayer. Not so much Ani George, but more Ani Tefillah. In each week, I've talked about that phrase, Ani Tefillah. And I've simply said that it means prayer. In various languages, we have different words that symbolizes or is used to mean prayer. For instance, I don't know the German word, but I understand that the German word for prayer actually has more of a meaning that means beg. Instead of prayer, in German it means more beg. In Greek, the idea of prayer is more of a wish. a desire. But it's interesting that in Hebrew, the word for prayer does not mean any of these things. It doesn't mean to beg. It doesn't mean to wish. It is actually drawn from a verb that means to judge. To judge. When we pray, we are entering into judgment. In order to not make you too squirmy or uncomfortable, there's no guys in black robes or bailiffs or people sitting behind the counter to collect your fine in this particular case. But the Hebrew concept of prayer does involve the idea of judging. In fact, the noun for prayer is tefillah. The verb to pray is the verb hitpalel. Hitpalel. And it means to judge or to pray. It could have the idea of invoking God as the judge. But it's interesting that the verb hitpalel is actually in a verb case that is reflexive. That is, that the action of the verb is done on oneself. For instance, a reflexive idea would be, I gave myself a haircut, with the clippers, with the shears. Or you gave yourself the ball. I don't know. I don't have the best examples, huh? The action of the verb is done by the subject to themselves. So let me explain it in the case of the verb hitpalel. That is, if the verb means to judge, when one prays, they are judging themselves. This is really interesting to me. It's a completely different idea of prayer than I've regularly ever heard anyone talk about. So often, we talk about prayer simply in terms of petitions, like that wish list, meaning that prayer is an idea of the things I wish for, or even worse, the things I beg for. And we've talked about in the past weeks how prayer is not merely about ourselves, but also about the community that we're in relationship with, the people of Israel. And we talked about those examples from the Psalms. We've talked also about how we need to enter prayer discerning God's heart instead of having kind of loosey, wishy-washy prayers. God, if it's your will to do this, then please do it. And we discussed how actually in Scripture that kind of prayer never shows up that says, God, if it's your will, please do this. We need to understand in prayer what God's heart is, what does God desire, and then pray that way. To say it another way, we need to learn what it means to judge ourselves in prayer. Prayer is taking an attitude of, I am going to approach the Most High, and I am coming to Him recognizing that I am His servant. And when you recognize that you're God's servant, you're coming to Him to speak with Him. You open yourself up for him to speak in return. You open yourself to hear his voice. Do you ever remain silent in prayer? I encouraged a couple of weeks ago an exercise. Could you pray for 20 minutes solid out loud? Only one of you came back and told me that you had actually tried that exercise. But on the other hand, have you ever tried to simply, after talking to God, have you ever tried to be silent and allow him to speak to you? The Psalms are full of this kind of encouragement. Listening to God's voice. If prayer is only going to God to say, with our list of needs and petitions, this is not fully what prayer is. You are not fully praying if you do not then silence your spirit and your mind and allow God to speak to you. If you and I are doing all the talking in prayer, we are not fully coming to a point of judging ourselves. We need to allow God to speak into our lives. Prayer is dialogue between us and the Most High. We need to allow ourselves to come into prayer as a way of judging ourselves. Are these petitions I'm asking about, are these things I'm praying for, are these even things that God wants me to pray about? Are these the things that God wants me to pursue? Prayer is not just giving God a list, but asking him to itemize our prayer concerns. To itemize not only our prayer concerns, but to itemize our hearts. Prayer is judging oneself. When you pray, the next time, let me give you this challenge. Not only the challenge of the next time you're praying, allow for a period of silence. That's something our culture doesn't do very well, by the way, is to turn off all the sources of influence going into our eyes, our ears, our fingers, and so forth, to silence ourselves, but also to silence our hearts before him. God, the next time you speak to him, think of it as a judgment session. God, am I living appropriately? God, am I doing what you desire? God, is there something I need to change about my lifestyle? God, is there something that you would like me to do that I'm not doing? God, how can I serve someone else greater than I'm serving right now? God, how can I give more than I'm giving right now? These are the kinds of prayers that get to the root of what it means to judge ourselves. Let me give you another example of this. Each Sabbath in our worship and prayer, we in our siddur, we start by reading from a collection of psalms. In fact, in our siddur, there's about 20 pages of them, from page 53 to about page 75, I believe, where when we get to the Baruch Hu, that's when we all stand up and recite that those two responsive lines. Up until that point, there's a selection of psalms, and there are some that in Jewish tradition are designated for the Sabbath, and all of those are in this particular siddur that we use. Today we read Psalm 145 through Psalm 150. These collection of psalms are called Pesuke de Zimra. Pesuke de Zimra. It means verses of praise. Pesuke is the Hebrew word, or pasuk is the Hebrew word for a verse, like a verse of scripture. The plural, pesuke, verses of zimra, praise. For instance, of zimra, there's a messianic vocal ensemble called Zamir Levav. Zamir, the song or praise of the heart. That same word for praise or song is in the phrase Pesuke de Zimra. Verses of praise. Verses of song. But did you know that that word Zimra has another meaning besides praise or song? It can also mean prune. Not as in like the little shriveled fruit, prune, but prune as in the verb to snip, to cut away, to cut something back so that it will grow new, stronger, fuller, with more productiveness. For instance, this verb is used in Leviticus chapter 25 for this very idea of pruning, where we were told that you were not to eat of a certain trees that have been planted or prune them until they've lived for a particular number of years. The verb there in the verse for to prune the tree is this same zimra word. So what am I getting at? I said all that to say, when we begin each of our services by reading those psalms, could we think of them in a different way than just verses of praise to God or verses of song to Him? What if we thought of them in the other meaning of Zimra, of pruning? Then it would have a different understanding entirely. They would be verses of pruning for my life. It would be like taking the hedge clippers. These things are just really bad. How can anybody use these? This would be punishment. Go use those cruddy clippers to, you know. And here we have the real serious guy. This is the good old tree, you know. Click those big things. To lop off big branches. These are just as old. These are like antiques. I wonder how sharp the blade is, though. I was going to say, knowing this family, I'm sure they're sharp. They keep their tools in pristine condition. Good job, Aaron. We need to view prayer as a great big tree limb clipper. What an image. Going to prayer with an image of big, not just the hedge clippers like those for clipping like little twigs on a bush. This thing cuts branches off a tree. I hope you don't need these in your heart. Hopefully it's something even smaller than those. Have you seen the little handheld clippers? Hopefully, in your life and in my life, we are responsive to God that only the little handheld clippers are enough. Hopefully we don't need the bigger handled clippers or these great big tree branch cutters. Prayer is a way of pruning ourselves. That's what it means that prayer is judging oneself. Hitpalel is the verb that's used when it says, and David prayed to the Lord, or Moses prayed to God. Literally means that they judged themselves by what they said to God. They were willing to be pruned. They were willing to have the rough places of their heart clipped away as they prayed. Prayer is a willingness to have surgery on our heart. God wants to do heart surgery within each and every one of us. You're going to, I haven't ever thought about God as the doctor, at least in that way. But you are going in for a procedure every time you pray. This is not to scare you, but it is to teach us the value and the importance, the necessity of prayer. I find in my life that very few things are as beneficial to smoothing edges in my life as prayer is. I try to have an open spirit. I try to have a teachable spirit before the Lord or before my mentors. Sometimes that's enough, but other times I need God in prayer to do that kind of surgery that is required to remove the roughest spots. I remember when I was a kid observing my parents. My parents have a very different personality. Their temperaments are night and day different. They view the world in different ways, and they view just about everything in different ways. Conflicts would often arise. The only for a brief period in my junior high years did my parents have a great deal of cash flow and finances. When I was in ninth grade, my dad lost his job and decided that he would start his own business. And that really got rough. So a lot of the discussion, a lot of their interaction, their rough disagreements was about finances. At least that's how I remember it. Finances are what Dad did with his time, or more like how Mom wanted Dad around more. Those were the two things I remember. But what really sunk into my heart was as they would have their disagreement and their conflict, inevitably, one of them, usually my dad, would say, "Well, let's go upstairs and pray." I was a cynical teenager, and I would observe that, and I'd say, "Go upstairs and pray? What the heck is that going to do? In my mind, it was like they needed to, like, work through their issues and come to an agreement, find a compromise. One of them had the tendency of not listening real well. I kind of, in my mind, I had this checklist of things that they should do in order, the kid's always the smartest, right? But that's never what they did. I'd say the vast majority of times, Dad would say, "Let's go upstairs and pray." Didn't make sense to me. Why pray? They're gonna go pray, and then they'll still have the same conflict, and nothing will be resolved. But my dad knew something I didn't know. He understood that prayer is pruning. Prayer smooths out the rough areas. It makes the bush beautiful. Whatever has grown and risen. You put in the popping corn in the microwave and the corn pops and it gets bigger. Sometimes there needs to be something to cut things back and prune them back. Hopefully nothing as big as this big tree branch cutter in our lives. But my dad understood that there are times that prayer is what's necessary. Prayer is coming to judge ourselves, our attitudes, our responses. And as we're there talking to the Most High, these things will start coming out. I hate to make it sound like, Freudian psychoanalysis, but I'm sure it's happened in your life. I know it's happened in mine. You're praying and these attitudes start coming out, and then you're going, okay, that's not a right perspective. No, God, I really don't feel that way, but I do. And prayer highlights these things and allows the pruning to begin. My prayer is for you this week that you would grow in your understanding and your practice of prayer, that you would let it grow more in your life. If you need to dig into these Psalms, these verses of praise, or now we know can also mean verses of pruning, they will be a guide to allow the pruning to begin. The Psalms are beautiful places to start to highlight the emotions, the feelings that are in our life. The angst and the frustration and the anger and bitterness at others or even at God. There's even some psalms in there like that. I encourage you to let the pruning begin. Set aside some time this week. I'd even say every day. To spend some time pruning with God. Let's pray.